don't get them girls loose.
TJR.
You don't get the world loose. You don't get money.
Mr. Worldwide.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
But I do.
A good time out there. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, on a football Tuesday. Call us 216-578-0850 and make sure you stay connected to the Cleveland Browns with the latest news, photos, videos, and more. Visit clevelandbrowns.com, download our mobile app, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter and Instagram. And we bring in right now a regular on this show, our good buddy Gerard Cherry. Hey, Gerard.
What's up, Vic? You've been listening to the Yin Yang Twins, man?
I have. I'm enjoying it. It puts me in a very good mood.
To the wall, huh?
Absolutely. It's fun. It's fun stuff. This team's really young, Gerard.
That they are.
Does that worry you?
Not really, because I call this the discovery phase of what this organization is trying to do, and you have to go young when you're trying to turn things around, not necessarily rebuild, but discover who's going to be with you for the long term. So I get that. And again, it's been said, if you get to the Super Bowl this year, everybody obviously would applaud that, and we'll have a celebration for it. But that's really not the goal. The goal is to be comparable and to play good football and make adjustments and continue to close the gap on your divisional opponents. And you can do that with young guys.
So when you think about a team, have you ever been on a team that, by the way, had 13 rookies out of the final 53?
Ah, geez, I'm trying to think. Maybe in Dicka's second year with the New Orleans Saints, he might have pulled that caper off with a bunch of free agent signings that he had when he gave up his whole entire draft. But outside of that, no, I really can't recall that, man. And granted, you said it earlier, Vic, it doesn't leave for a lot of veteran leadership in the locker room, but I think you're solid with DeQuell Jackson and Joe Thomas. And will mistakes be made? Yes, they will be. But at the same time, you'll benefit from what took place last year. Young guys get a chance to play, and if you can keep these guys under contract in the long term, that's how you build a winning football team with a core.
We're going to learn a lot about this coaching staff too, Gerard. We're going to learn if it's as good as we think it is from top to bottom. A lot of touting was going on about the arrival of North Turner running this offense, Ray Horton on defense, keeping Chris Tabor, who has proven himself to be one of the better special teams coaches in the league. And Chris, I think, will get the burden of this responsibility because most of these young people are going to end up with his group. But, hey, depth at running back, depth at linebacker, those will carry some question marks now because of the young faces, depth at tight end. And coaches want to know top to bottom what they have. Coaches don't just focus on starters.
No, they don't. And these coaches might want to get their CED credits for teaching credentials because there's going to be a lot of that going on in the building with such a young team. And most of the times in the NFL, you really don't express the idea of teaching. You kind of assume because guys are in the league, that is coaches, that, hey, these guys got it. I just go over what they're responsible for as far as the certain coverages. But here will be a great example for these coaches to take it back to college and high school just to teach guys how to play the pro game in a proper manner and fashion. So I hope they're excited for it because they are going to earn their paychecks this year if you're a coach for the Cleveland Browns.
You certainly will. Gerard, as we look ahead to this game, one of the interesting things and interesting points Vic brought up earlier in the show is that when you bring in a lot of these guys at the bottom of your roster like this, it doesn't necessarily impact who's out there on offense or defense when you're in your normal packages, but it really impacts special teams. And I was looking at the first three opponents that the Browns faced last year ranked 1, 2, and 5 in terms of kickoff return yards, in terms of the average of every kickoff return last year. That would be, of course, Minnesota, the Baltimore Ravens, and counting backwards to number one at the Miami Dolphins. How much of a concern for you is it with all these new guys here that they're going to be able to cover against three of the teams that return kicks better than anybody in the NFL early in the season?
Covering kicks is all about desire and want to make the tackle, Nathan. And if you have guys out there who understand that it's one fortunate privilege and blessing that they're in the NFL right now, and if they don't go down and cover that kick and they're more concerned about why they're not starting, they'll be out of the NFL that quick as they got signed off the streets. So it's a matter of desire, heart, wanting to have it. Do you like to have a sense of camaraderie? Yeah, you want that in the chemistry, but really, it's about going down there and saying, I'm going to make the tackle come hella high water, and that's generally what you hope to find when you have guys on special teams right now as they develop, hopefully, into starters.
What I was encouraged about today, Gerard, when I was downstairs having lunch, I saw Brandon Whedon in the building.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a couple of other players kind of being around and knowing, hey, even though it's Tuesday, the prescribed day off, that there's going to be some extra time needed to get ready for this game. So, you know, you talked about it from the coaches earning their money and getting to know these new faces and what they're all about and studying them. They're having a kicking tryout today. I mean, a lot of things are going on, and this is a fluid situation with this team as it gets ready for the season. But I want to see people putting in that extra time. I want to believe that it matters to them to be as sharp as they possibly can because of what every game means, but especially what this first game means.
Oh, yeah, the opener is of utmost importance to win. We have not done that in so long, and just imagine the fanfare will be come next Monday, guys. We win this football game, and you'll have to get Nathan off our bandstands and, and take away our pom-poms.
Peel them off the roof.
I understand that, too. But to hear you say that Brandon Wheaton is in the building on Tuesday, and for those listening, Tuesday is essentially a day off that you have as a pro to kind of do whatever you want to do. And to hear that he's actually out there working, studying film, and doing the things necessary to prepare himself for this football game, that's very encouraging, Vic, because at the end of the day, Brandon Wheaton has to be the hardest working guy perceived more than anything and actually working hard by his teammates. And that falls in line with Coach Chudzinski as well, because if you have those two guys working hard, leadership will fall right in because guys respect the ones that work the hardest.
They certainly do. As you look at this game, we know that it is an important one for the Browns to win. We've talked about that. Vic wrote about it at clevelandbrowns.com, so I urge everybody to check that out there. One of the interesting and perhaps the key battles in this for the Cleveland Browns to be able to win this game would be the matchup between Cameron Wake last year, you know, arguably the best pass rusher in the NFL, led the league with 86 total pressures. He had 17 sacks, 23 quarterback hits, 46 quarterback hurries. He's going to be going against Mitchell Schwartz. This is a key matchup, the ability to keep Cameron Wake out of the backfield and allow the rest of this team and offense to do what it needs to do. How do you see that shaping out? And as a team, when you go into it, what measures can be taken and what measures do you think the Browns should take to help Mitchell Schwartz out, knowing that he has such a difficult matchup in week one against Cameron Wake?
Well, Cameron Wake, obviously a two-time Pro Bowler, is a challenging matchup, and he's a guy that makes that defensive line, which is the strongest part of this team, go. Now, what Mitchell Schwartz can do and what the coaching staff can do is this. Whenever you go against a guy that's a speed rusher that gets off the edge pretty quick, in a part of preparation, what you do is give him your scout team guy. Say you're supposed to be on the line of scrimmage or off the line of scrimmage. Put him across the line of scrimmage. That way, Mitchell can get used to the fast rush and have adjustments in that regard. So whoever's doing the pass rush this week, it is paramount that he gives Mitchell Schwartz a good look so that he goes in this game confident that he can defeat and beat on a regular down and down basis Cameron Wake. So if he can pull that off, you're in good shape, because that's going to be the key right there. Deion Jordan's not playing. He's kind of banged up. He's a second string right now. But if you can nullify Cameron Wake, that'll be huge in making Brandon Wheaton feel comfortable, because when Brandon Wheaton's comfortable in the pocket, good things tend to happen.
And you heard Joe Thomas mention this as well yesterday, that it's team blocking, that you don't expect or put one guy and say he's going to just take care of this guy. You'd like that to be the case.
Right.
That's not happening with a guy like Cameron Wake.
Yeah, and you have a running back chipping here and there, and you have a tight end obviously line up there. But just think about it, though, guys. If Schwartz can do it by himself and nullify him, just imagine what you could do from a scheme standpoint with the rest of your offensive line and just blocking packages or whatnot, if he can be nullified. But if it's not the case and you have to lean on your teammates, I'm fine with that. But I want Schwartz to go in with the mindset of, you know what, I don't want your help. I'm going to defeat this guy. Right. Now, that's a huge task to pull off. But, hey, what's wrong with thinking in that manner or fashion?
To me, when you look at it, that's a critical matchup. And then on the other side of the ball for the Browns' defense, I think that, you know, Joe Hayden's done very well against Mike Wallace the last few times that those two have hooked up. He's really shut him down. He struggled with Wallace early in his career, but in the last three meetings, you know, he's held Mike Wallace under 70 yards receiving combined in those three games. Actually, 77, I apologize, under 80 yards receiving, six catches for 77.
Analytics.
Brandon Gibson, he'll be the slot receiver, buster screen. I like that matchup. The one that concerns me, and I'm interested to get your take on it, is Chris Owens on the outside, giving up some size, giving up some speed to Brian Hartline coming off of a $1,000 yard season. and he got a few dollar bills as well.
$1,000, that's for sure this past offseason. But I will say this, Nathan, that I'm concerned too, because Owens has not practiced. Hartline has gotten his work in, and Owens has not. So right there, yeah, that is a concern. But But at the same time, if the pass rush does what it's capable of doing, I think that will help out Chris Owens tremendously because if, hey, Tannehill's under duress and feeling the pressure, and he's been known to make poor decisions with the football, hopefully he'll make some more, as long as that pressure helps him. But again, I am concerned about Owens not practicing because I'm a firm believer that in order to play well, you have to practice.
Gerard, we love it. You practice for this show, and look at what you do. You just drop the knowledge. You drop the knowledge on us.
Hey, hey, hey!
We'll do this again, I'm sure, tomorrow. Why not?
Let's. Why not?
All right. Thank you so much. Gerard Cherry, he joins us as a regular here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. It is Vic Carucci. It is Nathan Zagura. It is you calling us up, 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850. We want your calls, and we get your calls. And we get your tweets, too, at Browns_Daily. Be part of this show. We love it. Vic, Nathan, ESPN 850, WKNR.